Talk to them about when you preach, you know, preach where people can hear you and try to do the best you can. And all of us are Southern, and so we have accents, and I know I do. I try to speak plainly, though, and was coming home from a church on Wednesday night, and Abigail and I got in the truck and was coming up the road, and she said, "What was the title of your message tonight?" Some of you might remember I preached on the barren fig tree over in Mark chapter number 11, the barren fig tree. Jesus went and looked on, expecting there'd be figs, and there was no figs. And I told her, I said, "It was the barren fig tree." She said, "Oh," I said, "B-A-R-R-E-N, the barren fig tree." She said, "Well, I wondered," she said, I wondered, she said, "I had written down the bear and the fig tree." She said, "And I kept wondering, what does this have to do with a bear?" So I was kidding him at lunch today. I said, tonight I was going to preach on the bear and the fig tree. If I could find that in the Bible, I'd try to preach on it just so I could tell that story. But 1 John chapter 4, let's read verses 1 through 6. And I desire your prayers tonight. 1 John is actually, I've not preached through the book of 1 John here at church, but I did years ago at Forest Grove. I preached through the book of 1 John, but there's a lot of good stuff in 1 John. And if somebody was doubting their salvation, I would tell them, I'd say, go to the book of 1 John and just read and read and read and get that thing settled down. A lot of good stuff. But verse number 1 of chapter 4 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." We're going to look at these six verses tonight. We'll go back and read verse number 3 just to sort of get started and begin thinking tonight. But the Bible said, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is he in the world." And so the Bible talks about in verse number 3, the spirit of Antichrist, that even now already is he in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world. It's been in the world a long time. It's been around a long time. And I mentioned this morning, and I really didn't intend to. I was really thinking about preaching on this tonight, but I mentioned something about the Pope and all of the all the news and all of the hoopla that's surrounded the visit of the Pope to America. And I've really been surprised, although I shouldn't be surprised, I've been surprised this time at how people who are supposed to be what we would call evangelical Christians. They're probably not Baptists. They probably don't use the same Bible that we use, you know, but they would, they probably don't worship like we worship, but they're people in America that I believe they know the Lord, and they know at least that you need to be born again to go to heaven. They're not exactly like us, and so they just group them together and call them evangelical Christians or people that believe you need to be born again. But I've been surprised at how much I've heard from that group of people that are praising and talking about the Pope. Just one example from, and there's all kinds I could have brought tonight, but that's not the purpose of the message. But I was surprised somebody who I would think would know the truth about salvation, and somebody who would probably claim to be an evangelical Christian, or sometimes they refer themselves a person of faith. But I was surprised at something they'd wrote. They put a picture of the Pope up in Philadelphia, and they said, with Pope Francis in town this weekend, I can't help but feel at peace. He has touched so many with his visit and strengthened and renewed people's faith. I've been surprised to see many, many statements like that. I've heard people in the past week who never, this amazed me last week, people who never talk about the Lord. People who never talk about church, never talk about faith, never talk about prayer, never talk about God. I've heard people mention and talking about and praising the Pope and talking about the Pope. People who normally don't talk about anything to do with faith. The newspaper has been full of news articles and stories about the Pope, and the TV has been flooded with images of the Pope, and social media has covered his every move. I was noticing today that he was up in Philadelphia over this weekend and had a real nice vehicle for him to go around in, a Jeep. And it had been converted where he could walk up into the back of it, pure white Jeep. Had a little sunscreen or umbrella type thing over it, and he just walks up into it and just ride around town, and people just screaming and yelling and hollering and just all excited about the Pope being there. It's been in the news this past week. One morning I turned on the news and they had a flash news alert on there, and John Boehner, Speaker of the House, he up and resigned. Resigned effective the end of October. And they were talking about on the news that this definitely had been influenced by the visit of the Pope. And so touching areas in our country. Now, if the Pope's visit did spur a rash of resignations from Washington, that probably would be a good thing. I wish a bunch of the rest of them would up and resign. That'd probably be a good thing. But, you know, it just interested me that the twist on that was, you know, here's this guy who's been in Congress, got all this power, and all of a sudden the Pope comes and he decides, well, I'm going to resign. For the bet, he said, and you can't ever tell in politics what's really going on, but he said for the good of the party and all like that. But there's been all kinds of phrases talking about the Pope. And I mentioned it this morning. I heard somebody, they'd mentioned Pope fever. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I'm going to use that as the title to my message. I'm going to preach on Pope fever. Brother Mike in our Sunday school lesson this morning, he keeps up with the news. He said about it, he said that he had told Sister Marilyn, he said, you'd think that God had come. The way they's talking about and praising about the Pope coming and everything involved with that. But I just want to point out about three things out of chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, about Pope fever coming to America. Number one, there's the infection. Verse number 1, we'll just read it there. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, notice here in verse number 1, the Bible says, beloved, believe not. Now, as believing people, as Christian people, we place a great emphasis on belief. That is our message. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a positive message. That's a good message. And so we are used to hearing about believing, that we should believe, that we should have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's interesting to me that here in the Bible in verse number 1, the emphasis is believe not. Believing is important. And you'll never get to heaven without believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But here the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he said, beloved, believe not. You ever heard somebody say, don't believe everything you hear? And I believe we have an infection of that in our country, that a lot of people, well, they just believe everything they hear. But it is not good for you to believe everything that you hear. Everything is not good. Everything you hear is not of the Lord. But the Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. We're not to believe just everything that comes down the line to us, but we are to try things that come down the line. Try the spirits, the Bible says, whether they are of God. That is what ought to be the question tonight. That's what we ought to be interested in. Not what the media says, not what the news says, not what the religious world says, not what other Christians might be saying, but I am interested tonight in what the Word of God says. The Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Everything is not of God. The Bible says to try it. Now that word try there, it means this. It means to test it. It means to approve it. It means to make sure that it's the real deal. So in our nation, and I'm like Brother Mike said this morning, I'll be glad when he goes back where he come from. What little bit I've heard plenty. And I'm not being mean tonight. I know a lot of Catholic people. I love them. I'm not attacking tonight. But I'm just telling you, let's measure this by the Word of God. What does the Bible say? And the Bible says to try or to test the spirit. So Pope Fever, and that's people that are pro. They're saying Pope Fever. That people's got Pope fevers running rampant in our nation at the moment. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it a revival or is it an infection? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it a blessing or is it a curse? We're to try it. What does the Bible mean? How are we to try the spirits, whether they are of God? Because the Bible warns us many false prophets are gone out into the world. How do we try? How do we know? We test it by the Word of God. What the Bible says. And so you say, preacher, you say that a lot. Good. I hope that as we go out from this place, that it would be on our hearts and minds that that's how we measure things. Not by what the preacher says, but what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say about it? The Word of God warns us. The Apostle John is warning believers not to believe every spirit, but to try the spirits, whether they are of God. Look what he says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The Bible has a great deal to say about false prophets. Jesus talked about false prophets. He said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You better be aware. Everybody with a suit and a tie is not from God. Everybody carrying a Bible, knocking on your door, is not from the Lord. Just because there's a big fanfare of religion going on about something. Now, we don't wear them robes and things, and I say, praise the Lord for that. Some people, that's all they know, and they equate that with God. They equate that with religion. They equate that with going to heaven. Religion to them, one is just as good as another. Don't judge. Tolerate everything. Be accepting. I mean, that is the mentality of our society, is don't say anything negative. But don't you think a false prophet ought to be exposed as a false prophet? A false doctrine that would lead somebody away from the truth, that would cause somebody not to go to heaven because they believed in a false prophet. There ought to be a warning. They ought to be exposed. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse number 11, it said that the Bereans were more noble than they at Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily where these things were so. And as Paul went and preached, he noticed those Berean Christians, they didn't just take everything Paul said as the gospel truth. They measured it by the Word of God and they searched the Scriptures. They said, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? That's what we ought to do. Look back in 2 Peter chapter number 2. Now just a few pages, probably in your Bible, 3 or 4 pages. 2 Peter chapter number 2, because that's the book before 1 John. What does the Bible say about false prophets? Better beware. They're going to come. It's not good. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. The Word of God says, beware, it's going to come. Just know it. Just know that they're going to be out there. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. How can we tell false teachers? By what they teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you can tell. What they say about Christ. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. When you see the word many in the Bible, how many do you think that is? Millions. When you multiply all around the world and religion and Christianity and the mixture of the false and the true and all the different religions out there, millions. Millions are going to follow their pernicious ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Peter said, better beware, they're going to come. They're going to come. Look over in the book of Jude. Jude is after 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So we're going back the other direction. In the book of Jude, verses 3 and verses 4, book of Jude, verse number 3, Jude said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There's going to be a struggle come. You're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith. Why? Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and look what it says, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How are we going to tell these men? They'll be denying the Lord Jesus Christ. The last days, there's going to be an infection. There is of false prophets, false teachers, false doctrines that will spread around the globe. I teach kingdom of the cults. And false religion is as old as the world. It's been around since the Tower of Babel. But if you really study about the rise of false teaching, false religion, it was at the time of Christ. But in the 1700s, 1800s, it was multiplied. Jehovah's Witness, Mormonism, Seventh-day Adventists, Camelism, work salvation. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere, and it's under all kinds of different banners. It's everywhere, not just Pope fever, but apostasy. We're living in the last days. False prophets, false teachers, false doctrine is going to abound. It is here. That's what the Bible says. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they have God. Test them. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Number two, there is the identification of Pope fever. He said in verse number two, hereby know ye. Now, what's he saying there? This is how you know. This is how you know. That's what that means. Anybody could figure that out. This is not hard to understand. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, there was a teaching during the days of the Apostle John, a false teaching that came about. It was called Gnosticism. The Gnostics, they said that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. He was a spirit being. So that's what John is talking about. He said, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3, he's dealing with Gnosticism. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. John dealt with the false teaching that was flourishing during his day. He said, if they say that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, that is not of God. And so as we measure things by what the Word of God says, that's how you tell if it's of God or not of God. He said, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Now how do we identify if something's from God or not? He said, hereby know ye. This is how you know. How do we identify it? Forget about the crowds. Forget about all the applause. Forget about the white Jeep and all the show, and forget about people talking about, and it amazes, it shouldn't amaze me, but it does. All the people talking about how good this makes them feel. Does that mean that it's from the Lord? All these people talking about these positive emotions that they're having, and that all these displays of devotion. What matters is what a person says and believes about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what matters. And that's how we identify whether someone is of God or not of God. What do they believe and what do they teach about the Lord Jesus Christ? There's several things we could look at that are very, very important to the faith. The virgin birth of Christ. You know, a lot of your religions out here, they say, well, we believe in Christ. He's a good person. He's a prophet. He come from God. But they don't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't believe in the virgin birth, they're not of God. Well, people would say, well, Catholicism, they certainly believe in the virgin birth. Well, that's good. We believe in the virgin birth. What does somebody believe about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Timothy 3:16, that the Lord Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, that God come down, was born in a manger, walked upon the earth. He was in the world and the world was made by Him, John chapter 1 says. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everybody believes in the deity of Christ. What about the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about His burial? What about His resurrection, that He rose again on the third day? What do you believe about that? Look in 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. John said this, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, if you believe in that, you will not believe in the office of the Pope. What the Bible is saying here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1 and verse number 2 is contrary to the very existence of the Pope. Heard people talk about that the Papa, the Father, had come to Philadelphia. They're talking about the Pope. One of the titles for the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. One of the reasons why the Pope is so esteemed is because he is, according to the Catholic faith, he's the vicar of Christ upon the earth. He's the go-between. He is not the go-between between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary is not the go-between. Mary is not the one we pray to. See, in the Catholic faith, they pray to Mary because the way they teach, they say, who can appeal to the heart of her son like a mother? And so they pray to what they call the Blessed Mother Mary. And they say, "Oh, Mary, Mother of God, forgive us of our sins. Pray to Jesus. Ask Jesus to have mercy on us." That's contrary to what the Bible is saying here. The Bible does not say we go to the Pope to be our advocate or our go-between. The Bible does not say we go to Mary to be our go-between. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's who we go to get our sins forgiven. The Pope told the bishops that for a period of 1 year they can give forgiveness for abortion. See, Catholics are against abortion. Well, we're against abortion. But the Pope has no power to tell anybody that they can forgive anybody of their sins. There's only one that can forgive us of our sins. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we say go to the preacher, go to the priest, go to the Pope to get forgiveness of your sins, we're denying what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. But every false religion in the world, they've got a mixture of a little bit of truth, a little bit of error, some grace, some works, and all like that. It's got to be one or the other. It can't be both. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We're saved by the grace of God, not by some man absolving us, forgiving us, declaring or telling us that our sins are forgiven. But if we go to some man to forgive our sins, we're denying what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. And it's false doctrine. It's apostasy. Pope fever is apostasy. It is trusting in a man to do something for us which only the Lord Jesus Christ can do and thank God has done for us. The Bible said he is a propitiation for our sins and not for ours only but also for the sins of the whole world. We need to beware of anything that adds to what Jesus Christ has already done. There's the identification of it. There's the infection of it. There's the identification of it. Number three, there's the immunization. Now, if you got a fever, if you got a sickness, you can be immunized sometimes. And you won't get it. And that's what I'm getting at tonight, or part of why I preach on this. Somebody asked me, if you got Pope fever. I don't have Pope fever. But I've been immunized against it. How? What are you talking about? Look at verse number 4. Back in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Paul said in Galatians 4 and 6, he said, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." The Bible tells us that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God in you will immunize you against falling after the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." I do not believe you can follow the Pope and follow the Lord Jesus Christ simultaneously. Because the Spirit of Christ will cause something in you to know and to recognize and to realize something's not right about that. How could you follow a man that claims to be Jesus Christ representative upon the earth and follow Jesus Christ at the same time, and one is teaching totally contrary to the other? We're either saved by grace or we're saved by works, but you can't have both together. We're saved by the grace of God. We've already looked at that. There's the immunization against it. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world, but the Spirit of God is in the believer. See, that's what it said. "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you." If you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's three ways to tell a false prophet in verse number 5. Look what the Bible says. Number 1, verse number 5, they are of the world. If something is of the world, it is not of the Lord. John said, they are of the world. If you know anything about Catholicism, and you could say Catholicism, or you could pick from a large number of false religions, they are of the world. But since we're dealing with Catholicism, do you know the Vatican, which is where the Pope lives, do you know the Vatican is its own sovereign nation? Remember when Manuel Noriega down in Panama, when his nation got so sick and tired of him, finally run him out of office? You know where he went for asylum was? He went to the Vatican Embassy. And I remember years ago when that happened, I don't know that it ever dawned on me, why does the Vatican have an embassy? I thought nations had embassies. America has an embassy in France, and they have one in all the different nations. They'll have an embassy. And that embassy in that nation, that is considered America's turf. But the Vatican has embassies. How come the Vatican has embassies? Because the Vatican is its own recognized nation. Its own little country there. Its own post office and address and all the different workings of government. It's of the world. It's very, very rich. One of the richest institutions in the world is the Vatican. It's of the world. It has its dealings in the world. It looks like it is very, very religious, but it is its own separate, sovereign, rich, powerful nation. And so we have different leaders of state come to America. Benjamin Netanyahu came and he gave a speech before Congress. Pope Francis comes, gives a speech before Congress. The Bible said they are of the world. They're of the world. How do we tell? How do we recognize a false prophet or a false teacher? They are of the world. And look what it says, second of all, therefore speak they of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, the Bible said, Paul said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, have you heard what the Pope's saying? I've heard a lot of what he said. But more important than that, I've heard a lot of what he's not saying. The Pope is not a gospel preacher. Might be a lot of talk, might be a lot of fanfare, but people are not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the Pope's message. Some things he says sounds pretty good. Some things he says might be good in and of himself, but people are not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's plenty of gospel preachers in the world, or I know there could be more, but he's not preaching the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not pointing men, women, boys, and girls to the Savior. People are not coming to Christ because of his visit. They're of the world, therefore speak they of the world. He says a lot of things, but just it's of the world. And then it said in verse number 5, and the world heareth them. How do you recognize the world heareth them? The world's really been paying attention. The world's really been listening. Congress, leaders, religious people all over the world, they are of the world. Verse number 5, there's three things. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. It's how we recognize. Three ways to tell a false prophet or a false teacher. And then in verse number 6, there's three ways to tell a true preacher, a true teacher from God. Look what John said. Number one, he said, we are of God. Well, everybody would say that. The Pope would say we're of God. The Jehovah's Witness would say we're of God. We would say tonight, well, we are of God. But it goes further. He said, we are of God. Look what he said. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. God's people will hear God's messenger. He that knoweth God heareth us. When I listen to what somebody says, I really listen to what they say. If you know anything about the Bible, you can tell if that's of the Lord or if that's not of the Lord. God's people will hear God's messenger. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. John had the same thing going on we've got going on. He said, hey, some, they're not going to listen to a thing I've got to say, because they're not of the Lord. He that is not of God heareth not us. The world will not hear. And then once again, in closing tonight, he goes on down, verse number 6. He said, hereby know we. This is how we know. This is how we know. He said it in verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you know. Verse number 6. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's truth and there's error. How do you sort it all out? How do you figure it all out? You've got to see if it lines up with the Word of God. This is how you know. Now, I don't think anybody here tonight's got Pope fever. I seen somebody had one of them little hats on. They said, I've got Pope fever. Nobody wore a little hat to church. The little flying nun, Dutch hats, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you call them. I don't think anybody's got Pope fever. Probably not. And if not, you know what? You ought to thank God. I'm thankful. One of our dear friends years ago, it wasn't this Pope, it was another Pope. They was talking about the Pope. This is back years ago when I was in the Air Force. I wasn't even a preacher then. But their mother, who never went to church, just wouldn't have anything to do with the truth. The Pope came along, and she thought that's just the greatest thing in the world. There's something wrong with that. People that don't have any, they don't want to hear about the truth, they don't want to hear about the Word of God, they don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Pope can come along and all of a sudden they get to talking about God and heaven. Well, there's something wrong with that. So what's wrong with that? They probably got Pope fever. That's not salvation. If you don't have it, you ought to thank God that you can tell the difference between what's spirit of truth and spirit of error. Jesus said in John chapter number 8:32, and I love this verse, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Truth is wonderful. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the truth of God's Word. So really tonight, we'll just sort of give a little Bible study. How we can recognize and know truth. We might use Pope fever, but that'd apply to a lot of things tonight. And I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful for it in my heart and in my life, and that we can know and recognize it. All right.